The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated. So there's a few things that look a little different in the church this morning, right? What do you see that's a little different? What's something you see here that wasn't here last Sunday or the last Sunday that you were here? What do you see, Evan? I mean, Ian? Boxes. What do you see, Lucas? Quilts. Quilts. A whole row of quilts. Anybody see anything different? Anything else that's different? Yeah, Lucas? A big bag. In fact, I want to tell you about these quilts and about those boxes and the bag. That bag, why don't you grab that, Ian, or Lucas, grab it. And what do you notice about that bag? What kind of a bag is it?
It has all these quilts.
Aha! Can you put it on? Do you know how to put it on? All right. Okay, stand up and Ian, take a look and see what he's got in his backpack. What do you think might be in there? What do you carry in your backpack? What do you carry in your backpack? School supplies? That's it. All right. Great answer. Right answer, right thing. Okay, so we have how many school? 48? 58? 48 school kits that have been put together through the goodness of these people in the congregation and through the goodness of the people who are called the church mice, Rosie and Barbara and Elaine mostly, who come every week and sew and do other craft things that help out other people. But they don't just do it for themselves. They didn't make these backpacks just for them or for their favorite children. They made them for children who don't have school supplies, who don't have the opportunity to go to school unless we help them. And they made these quilts. Who do you think the quilts are for, Chloe? Who do you think these quilts are for? Exactly right. People that don't have quilts. These aren't for rich people that have just want a new bedroom set. These are for people that don't even have bedrooms. And this quilt might be the only blanket that they have, the only thing to sleep on or to keep warm. So we have quilts. I'm not sure how many we have here. But we're going to bless these quilts first. So would you come up and stand along the way and put your hands on the quilts? We're going to go that way. Chloe, stand up here and put your hands on the quilts. See if you can get a hand on every quilt. Okay. There. Okay. Move down a little bit. All right. All right. We're on to blessing the quilts. Okay. So pray with me. Pray with me. God of all knowledge, we dedicate these quilts in your name for your neighbor's good and for the sake of the world. May those who receive them know your deep love for them and for all people. Bless these quilts. May they give warmth and comfort to those who are in need. And may it all be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sit down again. We're going to bless these backpacks, and I'm going to have you say the prayers. So, no, we're going to just leave them there. So put them there. So what do you suppose is in that? Yeah, what kinds of things? Books. What else do you need for school supplies? Scissors, pencils, ruler, notebooks, paper, eraser, a binder. What else? Okay, you can sit down. Okay, so I'm going to have the girls say the black lines and the boys say the red lines. Wait, just make sure. Okay, girls read the black line.
The ear to our voices when we call to you.
We offer these school kits for your blessing.
And increase wisdom, learning, and knowledge in your children.
Bless the pencils and pens.
That by using them, children will learn to write.
Bless the rulers and pencil sharpeners.
That they will enable a journey of learning.
Bless the notebooks, erasers, crayons, and scissors.
That will enable creativity to flow into our world.
Bless the backpacks and all their contents.
That the children who receive these kits might carry with them a love of learning.
Lord, give instruction to the wise and they will become wiser still.
Teach the righteous and they will gain in learning.
All right, we ask God to bless. Okay, put your hands on those boxes. Put your hands on the boxes. What do you hope gets blessed the most? The scissors, the pencils, the pens?
All of them.
All of it. All right.
All of them.
Say with me together. God bless these school kids.
God bless these school kids.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So now you go off to school and learn a little bit more.
Okay. First reading is from Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life. Pray Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. And to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now. Second reading is from Philippians. Brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet feast.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. The Oscars are in March this year, but don't worry, it's still 5 months away, and you have plenty of time to sign up to be a seat filler. When the Oscars happen, the TV producers want to be able to pan the crowd and not see one empty seat. So they hire people, or invite, I don't know if you get paid or not, you get invited to attend the Oscars as a seat filler. So then you stand in line and wait until someone gets up to present, or someone gets up to go buy a drink, or get a drink. I don't suppose you have to buy them at the Oscars, but you have to go get a drink at the bar. Somebody needs to go to the bathroom. They get up, and you run in and take their spot so that when the camera comes by, there aren't any empty seats. Pretty good deal, huh? They want the house full. Well, in order to get invited to be a seat filler, you have to be a relative of someone who belongs to the Academy or who works for Price Waterhouse or whatever company they decide to get this year to count the votes. Well, I thought of those seat fillers when I read this story of the king who wanted his banquet hall full of wedding guests as well. So those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Well, I went online to see what the requirements were for being an Oscar seat filler. Does anybody have a relative who belongs to the Academy? Or who is, a member of, or works for, Price Waterhouse? No. Oh, there. All right. So, potential seat fillers. All you have to do is you get an application, and when you get the application, you find out what the dress code is, and you've seen those people on the red carpet, so kind of that. And then there is a promise that you make, a behavior promise, that says, if I misbehave, my relative who who signed my application will be fired immediately. So if your relative really, really likes you and trusts you, they might give you an application. If not, you get thrown out. Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think the relative that got fired would be the one who was gnashing the teeth. Jesus told this parable just a few days before he was arrested and then executed in Jerusalem. There is great tension in the air and tension in parable after pointed parable. As Jesus points to the great disappointment that he has in the non-acceptance that's shown to him by the chief priests and the Pharisees. Matthew tells this story with an emphasis on the exclusion of those who rejected the invitation. That's the Pharisees and the chief priests. That's the them to whom this parable is addressed. They could almost feel Jesus' finger poking him in the chest as he tells this parable. It might feel like so much poking to us as well as we listen to it. But listen for the grace. Listen for the invitation. Find the good news in this story that ends with gnashing of teeth and being tossed into the outer darkness. I think most of us prefer to listen to parables that end with an abundant harvest, like the parable of the sower, or that end in great joy, like the finding of the treasure in the field. These past few weeks, we've been getting parables that don't end in great joy, that end with statements like, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom ahead of you, or the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people that produce fruit for the kingdom. Well, we might think that this parable is just one more parable about exclusion and judgment. There is also in this parable inclusion and grace and participation. Now, Luke tells this parable too. So whenever a parable is told in or recorded in more than one gospel, we can be pretty sure that it's more, it was part of the oral history of the community. It's probably a story that Jesus actually told. Well, Matthew tells it a little bit differently than Luke does. Matthew adds this piece about the underdressed guest who gets tossed out on his ear, tossed into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I kind of like saying that. It's just got some kind of a little ring to it. But I find it an odd inclusion. What did that king expect? If you're going to holler at your back out your back door and say, everybody's welcome, come as you are, you don't expect everybody to be walking around in a wedding garment just in case they might get invited to a feast. Scholars say that first century wedding practices included a two-part invitation. We're kind of getting back to that these days. Have you ever gotten a save the date card? So we send out that save the date card, and then months later, or maybe even a year later, you get the invitation to come to the feast. Well, in the first century, they would send a save the date without a date on it. Just get ready, because soon we're going to have a feast. And then when it was all ready, when that fatted calf was barbecued just perfectly, when the wedding couple was in sight coming to the father's home for this feast, then the invitation would go out. All is ready. Come on. Right now is the day. This is the time. And as people entered the courtyard to come into the feast, they would be handed a wedding garment, a festive robe, invited then to participate in the celebration. Have you ever been to a luau? When you go, when you, as you enter the venue, thank you, Gail, as you enter the venue, you're presented with a lei, either beautiful flowers or kukui nuts, that is an honor. And no one, well, only the grumpiest of curmudgeons would refuse to participate in the honor and the fun of accepting a lei. The man at the king's banquet refused to participate. It doesn't say if he was a grumpy curmudgeon, but it sounds like it. That's what got him tossed out. It was less about the dress code and more about the behavior. He would never have made the cut to be a seat filler at the Oscars. But there's really no way of understanding this story unless you know the backstory. Why were so many people refusing to respond to the invitation to celebrate with the king's son? Jesus was addressing this parable to the chief priests and the Pharisees. He reminded them that years prior to this, hundreds of years before this, the prophets had come to their people and proclaimed God's kingdom, and their ancestors had killed those prophets. And then in the year 70 AD, Jerusalem was overtaken by Rome, and the temple was destroyed, burned to the ground. And in Jesus' parable, he says, the king went out and burned that city to the ground. Then the Jewish community of Christ's followers extended their welcome to the Gentile community, to those who were becoming believers, mostly through the work of St. Paul. And this second wave of believers didn't have the history and the background of the Hebrew people. They didn't know all of those laws and rules that the Hebrew people had. And there was a dissension in the community between the Jewish believers who had known God forever and were still trying to figure out now, what does this freedom in Christ mean? And then the latecomers, the Gentiles, who acted as if grace gave them permission to live any way they wanted. They lived that all are welcome and nothing is required to its full extent. And there was conflict in the community. And that's the community that Matthew is writing to. He's writing this gospel for this conflicted community with the Jewish Christians who have this background of law and rules, and the Gentile Christians who have their heart on the freedom of Christ. And it's this conflicted community that hears this story. And so Matthew is writing this as a way to say, no, it's not about, it's not what Jesus intends for us who accept the invitation to believe. Believing and being an invited guest does not mean that you can do whatever you please. Even being invited at the last minute, as the Gentiles were invited late, does not mean that anything goes. So listen here, people. People of God, as Jesus said in the story, listen. You have been invited to the feast. So participate. On the one hand, this story addresses a very particular situation in the early church that has nothing to do with us. But on the other hand, it has everything to do with us. Every week, we get the invitation to come to this feast of the King. We get the invitation to participate. But you can see there's still room at the table. Some of the invited guests are on the soccer field. Some, I suppose there's a football game on TV today, isn't there? Yeah, so there's people tuning in just in case they can't find the right channel. So it's going to take a little bit longer. So they're already in front of the TV. Some are still in their PJs. Sunday's my only day off. Some are just too busy for church. But we are here. We are here. And it's not necessarily because we're better than those who aren't here. Remember, in the story, the slaves are sent and told to gather all who they find, both the good and the bad. It just so happens that we're here for our own good or bad reasons. This invitation has come to us, and we have decided to accept. But like that underdressed guest, some of us are here without thinking too much about it. Maybe it's just a habit that brought us here, and we aren't really participating. We too have refused to change our clothes. We refuse to surrender our fears and resentments. We refuse to share our wealth. We refuse to accept the dignity of all human beings. These are the old clothes that we wear to the King's feast. Refusing to participate, refusing to put on the wedding robe that is the garment of life. The underdressed guest thought that the king was just looking for warm bodies to fill up the hall. He was happy to eat the king's food and listen to the king's music. He was doing the king a favor by being there. Well, here's the good news. God is not just looking for warm bodies. God is looking for wedding guests. Wedding guests who will participate in this feast for his son. And we can do that in board shorts and flip-flops, or in a tuxedo and a gorgeous dress. We know that it's not about the fabric of our clothes. It's about the fabric of our being. It's about participating in the life of the community, in justice and forgiveness, in loving kindness and peace. So put on Christ. Put on the life of Christ. Participate fully in the kingdom feast. Amen.